Today, guest speaker Charles Price brings a special Christmas teaching about men who were searching, looking for something transcendent, and following a star all the way to Bethlehem. That's next on Telling the Truth. As we get ready to close out another year of ministry at Telling the Truth, your partnership is more vital than ever to keep sharing Stuart and Jill's wit and wisdom in the year ahead and beyond. And when you give today, your support will be doubled by a $120,000 matching grant. We'll say thanks for your gift with a copy of the Best of 2023, featuring the Briscoes' most loved messages from this year. So call today to have your year-end gift matched and request your copy of the Best of 2023. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's today's message.
Born in Bethlehem, well, maybe 25% possibility. But actually, not just in Bethlehem, he actually went down to Egypt. Wow, the odds are getting shorter now. Mm-hmm. Not only that, when Herod died, they came back to Nazareth. And it says in verse 23, he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, he'll be called a Nazarene. And that's a rather obscure reference, but it's a quotation in the book of Isaiah written 700 years before. So here you've got a remarkable set of circumstances. He was born in Bethlehem by a fluke, humanly. He went to Egypt because of Herod's killing the babies to get away from his vengeance. And then they came back to Nazareth when Herod had died. And it just so happened that 750 years before the prophet Micah had written, he'll come from Bethlehem. 800 years before Hosea had written, out of Egypt, I called my son. And 700 years before it had been written that he'd be a Nazarene. Incidentally, before the town of Nazareth even existed. Listen. We have a much better reason for believing in the accuracy of the story of Jesus, the fact that he was born, lived, died, and rose again from the dead, than that the Bible said that he did. And the better reason for believing it is that the Bible said that he would long before he did. Anybody can write history after the event. I can tell you what happened yesterday, no problem. I cannot tell you what will happen tomorrow. If you pick up today's newspaper, read last week's news, you're not impressed by that. You expect to do that. If you pick up today's newspaper and read next week's news, and next week it happens exactly as you read this week, you probably would want to know who the editor is. Do you know the Old Testament scriptures? Are next week's news written 700, 800 years in advance, and more. You remember that Jesus eventually was crucified. And when he was crucified after a mockery of a trial, they put nails into his hands, nails into his feet. Then they took the cross and they raised it and dropped it into a hole in the ground. And the effect of dropping the cross into the hole in the ground would be that many of the bones in his body would be knocked out of joint. As he hung there, the people at the foot of the cross divided up his clothing. They cast lots to decide who would have the best of his clothing. With that in mind, let me read you this verse from scripture. It says this, a band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. An exact detailed description of what happened on the cross. And do you know when that was written? It was written 1,000 years before Christ was born. You can read it in Psalm 22. 1,000 years before Christ was born. Written by David. You see, in the search for meaning, which these men had, and we're on. Don't try to find your role in the temporary passing fads of today. They'll be here today, they will be gone tomorrow. Yes, there are all kinds of winds that blow and they come and we're impressed by them, but they're gone within a few years. Find your roots in something deep. Find your roots in something that goes back in time and that talks about the future as well as the present. And here you see, they find when they step into this story, they're stepping into something which has roots that go back centuries. And you and I will find our meaning and our purpose in life in something which is much bigger than we are, that's much bigger than our own times, that's much bigger than our own experience, that's much bigger than our own little lives. We need to find significance and meaning in that which is eternal. I was due to come home from India on Thursday. But a friend of mine in England died. He had been battling with cancer for 2 years. And his funeral was to be on Friday. And so I was able to change my flight and come back through England and be there to attend his funeral. And as at the end of the funeral service, his coffin was taken and it was lowered into the grave, in a little cemetery. I couldn't help, as I'm sure we all do in such circumstances, think about the significance of his life. Is this really the end? Before the service, a slideshow covering his life had been shown on the wall of the front of the church. There are pictures of him as a baby, learning to walk, on his first bicycle, first day at school, becoming a teenager, getting his first car, going to university, getting married, the birth of his three children, the lovely family picture of them together, times on vacation. And he and his wife had come and stayed with us about 6 months ago, but now it's over. Is that it? Another name on a tombstone that with time will become eroded and forgotten? Or is the 60 years of his human life just a very small part of the story? You know, the scripture tells us in the book of Psalms, God says, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I had a plan for your life. You read it in Psalm 139. And when our kids were small, Hannah asking Hillary, my wife, where was I before I was born? I remember Hillary giving a brilliant answer. You were in the heart of God. And Hannah, as a little child, used to say, I used to be in the heart of God. And she was, and she still is. Before ever you were conceived in your mother's womb, you were conceived in the heart of God and the mind of God and the purpose of God. And Christmas brings to us the story of the birth of Jesus, brings to us that there is a cosmic story that is not only bigger than you and I are. Jesus himself, it says of him, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking there of Christ, whenever the beginning began, he was already there. So his story began before the beginning. And he is the Alpha and the Omega, which is the A and the Z of the Greek alphabet. He's the beginning, he's the end.
Listening to Telling the Truth. Today's guest speaker, Charles Price, is sharing a message about the men who saw a star in the east and followed it all the way to the Christ child. He'll be back in just a moment. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Some generous friends who love God's word and want to see it shared with more people around the world have come forward with a $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to keep Stuart and Jill's teaching going out through Telling the Truth. This generous match means whatever you give today will be worth twice as much to share timeless and unchanging truth with more people around the world in 2024 and beyond, helping them experience life in Christ. as thanks for your support this month, we'll send you a copy of The Best of 2023, which includes the most loved teachings this year. And remember, your year-end gift is worth double thanks to the $120,000 match. To keep sharing the life-changing truth of God's love with people across the globe through the resources and teaching of Telling the Truth. So be sure to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you give today. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. For many, our smartphones have become our social connection. But we want to help you make a spiritual connection with the Telling the Truth mobile app. You can listen to daily programs, engage in Bible reading plans, journal, and share your thoughts and prayers on the community wall. Get the Telling the Truth app through your app store or log on to tellingthetruth.org/mobile app. Remember, you can also give to support Telling the Truth on our mobile app. Now, let's get back to Charles Price, our special guest speaker.
And what these men would need to discover was this, that your 70 years life at best will only find its meaning when you start to connect and become integrated with the big story, when you become related to God and you connect with God and you come into relationship with God. Why do so few people do that? Well, here's an interesting feature of this story, that when Herod called together these chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them whether Christ was to be born, and they knew the answer, don't you find it intriguing that though they knew the answer, they seemed to be complacent about it? You see, suppose you were a scribe or a teacher of the law. Your job was to handle the Old Testament scriptures. And supposing you knew that the central theme of that story was that one day God will send a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Savior to his people. And every year you wonder, will this be the year? And every baby born, you wonder, is this the child? And then one day some Eastern strangers come and knock on your door and they say, we have seen a sign in the East. Where is this Messiah to be born? And the king calls you in and says, tell us what the answer is. And you say, oh, I know the answer. It's in Bethlehem in Judea. Look at it in the book of Micah. Here it is. Don't you think that the moment you'd given that information, you'd go outside, get on your horse or your donkey or your camel or your bicycle and get down to Bethlehem as fast as you can to see for yourself the hope of Israel? Wouldn't you think you'd do that? But they don't. They remain complacent. They perhaps have become skeptical. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we can be so familiar with these things, they lack their freshness anymore. And you're not going to be looking for Christ because you are skeptical about Christ. You become disillusioned in some way. There may be all kinds of reasons for that. Maybe things have happened in your life and you reason, well, if there was a God, that wouldn't happen. But it has. So I'm skeptical now. Maybe you've been part of the church. You've been hurt in your experience in the church. And you say, I don't want to be part of that. Maybe you've seen Christians and you've seen a two-sidedness to them. You've seen hypocrisy and it's turned you off. And you say, I'm not going to pursue that because I've seen stuff I don't like. Be careful. Because though those reasons for your disillusionment may be valid, you've got to get through to Christ himself. You've got to seek for Christ himself, not for religiosity or for Christianity. I find it interesting that the Magi, who are from the East, unfamiliar with these things, become the most serious about them. Whereas the scribes, who are from Israel, they were Jews, were very familiar with these things, but they were not serious about them. They just knew the answer, went back in and probably had a cup of coffee and forgot about it. We can be surrounded by the things of God, but unless we are seeking for God, We're not going to find him. Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask, it'll be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Listen to this. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. That's why I don't believe anybody who says, I want to find God, but I can't. They may say that when they're in the process, haven't yet come to meet him, but anybody who seeks. Jesus said, everyone who seeks finds. The only people who never find are the people who never seek. The only people who never receive are the people who never ask. The only people to whom the doors stay shut are the people who never knock. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened. What happens if you seek the wrong thing? He will guide you in direction. The right thing, these men were seeking through astrology. That's the wrong thing. Scripture in the Old Testament is very critical of astrology. But though they were seeking in astrology, it led them to Christ. If the seeking is genuine, you seek in the wrong place, you bring it to the right place. What if you're asking for the wrong thing? He'll give you the right thing. If a child asks for fish, you're not going to give him a snake, said Jesus. He'll give you the right thing. What happens if you knock on the wrong door? He'll open the right door. When you're seeking and you're knocking and you're asking is genuine. See, God looks not as on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. You may outwardly look as though you're going in the wrong direction. But when the heart is disposed towards seeking to find God, he'll bring you to himself. Because, you see, not only are we to be seeking God, but he is seeking us. The scripture says, speaking of Jesus' mission statement, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. What am I doing? I'm seeking in order to save that which is lost. And I think I've said before, to be lost is a wonderful description because to be lost is to be valuable. I'm drinking a bottle of water and I lose my bottle somewhere. I put it down as I often do. It's no big deal. It's not worth very much. If I lose my wallet, and my driver's license and my credit cards and my money. I ask everybody I know, have you seen my wallet? It's lost. It's valuable. When it says he came to seek and to save that which was lost, that very description puts incredible value on every human being. We're lost because we're wanted. These men were not seeking fulfillment by looking into some pursuit that would bring them a little bit of fun. They're looking for God himself. How do we know that? Because it said in verse 2, we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Not we've come for therapy, we've come for healing, or we've come for even forgiveness, or we've come even for everlasting life, or we've come to get our problems fixed. We have come to worship. We've come to discover the one to whom we can relate our lives in such a way that we become so related to him that as worshipers and trusters in him, we might enjoy a living experience of him. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 3, verse 11, that God has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity into the hearts of man. He's put into the hearts of human being the idea that these years on earth are not the whole story. How can they be? If it is, it's just a joke, and it's a bad joke at that. There's something bigger than myself. And as C.S. Lewis said, if God has given us appetites that don't have a satisfaction here on earth, we have an appetite for food and we can eat. We have an appetite for relationship and we can enjoy friendship. We have a sexual appetite and we can enjoy a sexual relationship. But we have an appetite for the eternal that we cannot satisfy in this life. And Lewis says this, it's because we're made for another world. The appetite itself is evidence. We're made to know God, to experience God, to be loved by God and to love God and to worship God. And Augustine in the 5th century wrote, you have made us for yourself and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. There were three responses in this story. There were the scribes. They neglected Christ. They knew the answers, but they neglected There was Herod. He rejected, did all he could to destroy him. And there were the wise men, the magi, and they accepted. And they went down to Bethlehem. And it says, they worshipped him and they opened their treasures, which is an interesting association of ideas in that sentence. They worshipped and opened their treasures. That is, everything was valuable to me, I'm giving to Jesus Christ. I'm going to live out of that relationship with him. If you choose to neglect, nobody else can do anything about that whatsoever. You may come back next week and the next week and the next week and the next week and the next week, but you get nowhere.
Charles Price returns in a moment with some closing thoughts for today. If today's teaching is blessing you, then we have an exciting offer to tell you about. We've pulled together six of the most loved teachings from the Briscoes this year in a special resource called The Best of 2023 that we'd love to send you today as thanks for your gift to help close out 2023 strong. Revisit some of the most powerful messages you've heard this year and be reminded of God's amazing love for you all year long with this special collection. And thanks to a generous $120,000 matching grant, whatever you give today will be doubled to help send the timeless teaching of truth around the world, trusting God to change lives in the year ahead. It's partners like you who make it possible to share messages like this one today with people across the globe. So if you haven't given before, consider a gift today worth double thanks to the match to help God's word going out around the world to you and many others. And remember to request your copy of The Best of 2023 when you call and give. Just call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Here's our guest speaker, Charles Price, once again.
If you choose to reject, say, I'm having nothing to do with this, nobody can do anything about that, and you may never come back. But if in your heart there's an awakening going on, if in your heart you sense something stirring and you sense maybe a possibility, an excitement that you've really not seen before, yes, maybe I can know God. Maybe my life in this very temporary role that I have in this body can be connected to something bigger that is so much more significant and makes my life so significant. And that not only is bigger, but will involve me in that which is eternal and give to me eternal life. And just come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm lost without you. Come to live in my life. Cleanse me of that which separates me from you, my sin for which Christ died on the cross. And come to bring that life and freedom and meaning and joy I never had before. Whether you're a young person or been around for decades, there needs to come a moment when you tell Jesus Christ you want to know him and begin to discover the adventure of the life which you were created, lived in relationship with him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that we are connected with something which is not just a minority interest. It's just religious superstition. But we're connecting with something that is true and real, with a God who is alive, a God who sent his son, that having been made a human being, he might take upon himself the just punishment for our own sin and rebellion, that we might be reconciled to God, made into new people, and indwelt by the Spirit of God. Thank you. It begins here at Christmas. I pray that there'll be many of us who are seeking you, and thank you that we'll find you and enjoy a living relationship with you. It'll make everything else in life make sense and derive value for everything else in our lives. Pray for those who are battling in their hearts and minds over this issue. I pray they may sense and feel the drawing presence and power of the Holy Spirit, drawing them to yourself. And thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Charles. Before you go, we want to remind you of the $120,000 matching grant that will double your gift this month to send the timeless teaching of truth around the world through Telling the Truth. And when you give, we'll send you the Best of 2023 series with this year's most loved teachings. These encouraging messages will keep you reminded of God's love all next year. So please request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online when you visit tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for being with us today on Telling the Truth. Come back tomorrow as guest speaker Charles Price shares a powerful message about the peace on earth that Jesus came to give us.